All right, everybody, welcome back yet again. It is another Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind. We've got Joe Freeman in the house, as well as Carrie will be joining us momentarily. If you like our mastermind, you can. It's a supportive community that we participate in real time in our closed Facebook group, and I have posted the link in the description on the YouTube video, as well as will be in the show notes, so you guys can check it out. It is a closed group, so you have to ask for permission to join, and that's what makes it cool, because we can talk, we can hang out, you can ask questions without feeling like, oh, this is a stupid question, I don't know if I should ask, or be embarrassed. It's also a great place to get feedback from other, like, musicpreneurs, as they say, who can give you some great ideas. Today's topic is Spotify. Like it or not, Spotify's here to stay. Well, at least until somebody comes up with something new, you know how the internet is. You may have asked yourself, you know, why am I bothering with offering free downloads, you know, in my Facebook ads, or attempting to sell music online, when all people need to do is go to Spotify and just stream the damn thing? You know, that's a question I have too. So on today's call, we're going to explore the challenges and the possibilities that Spotify presents. That's why I entitled the episode Spotify, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. First of all, Spotify has gotten a lot of bad press over the years from mainstream artists. Specifically Taylor Swift has been like in an arm wrestling match with Spotify for a long time over the amount of money you get paid. I think that the worst way to use Spotify is as a let's get money from Spotify. You can, and there are strategies for doing that. And if any of you, I have a course I can show you guys that I got from a guy named John Gold, and I can show that to you, where he has some Spotify monetization tactics, tips, tricks, things like that. But the issue is, you are collecting micro cents. So, Joe, how many microcents do you need to get a dollar? Right? Exactly. You know, so I don't think that is necessarily the best approach for it. I think that one of the things you have to consider in terms of growing your fan base, or, you know, your email, specifically your email list, because just because people are following you on Spotify doesn't mean that they're going to ever like buy anything off of you. Right. Just like YouTube, you know, just because I follow so many YouTube channels. I've got like a handful of music YouTube channels that I absolutely love. Watch them all the time. I get a lot of great content out of them, but there isn't one that I support financially. There just isn't. I just don't do that. So you have to think of other strategies with Spotify. First of all, one of the things that you can do in terms of creating a sort of peer-to-peer relationship with people is to find other artists on Spotify and start to network with them. So, you know, you may find artists that have great, that have music that you feel is, hey, you know, he's an indie artist like I am, and we're sort of in the same genre. So from there, you can build connections, that way. So that is one strategy that you can do. The other thing, and that's why I really need Carrie on here, because here he comes. Carrie is the expert on the Spotify profile, artist profile. So we want to talk about the Spotify artist profile.
And actually,
setting that up properly is another thing that you want to do. But just off the top of my, just like, you know, one of the things you can do is, instead of like,
hey, Dave,
necessarily trying to grow get a million followers or a billion downloads or whatever, just so you can make $20, is to create relationships. Joe, what were you going to say?
Oh, so there's a gentleman who actually, his whole program is based on taking traffic to funnels, and in those funnels, passing them in the shop into Spotify. And his theory is that the more people you get to pay attention to you as a musician in Spotify, Spotify moves you up in ranks because they know that you're liked by their followers. Therefore, you're going to get more and more and more. And I know you guys hate this word, but you're going to get more exposure, which means more awareness for your music. And then from there, you know, he has them on an email list. He can then start selling other things, CDs, merchandise, so forth. I'm looking here. I mean, it looks like they're saying 286 million active users on Spotify in Q1 of 2020. So presenting that question, I know you had a plan for the meeting, but presenting that question, is Spotify really relevant to get exposure for your music and have people used it to launch their career?
Well, here's the key, and we I was going to get to this a little bit later on, is the idea of getting yourself ranked higher through the downloads, because this gets you attention in other ways. So we're going to get to that. That is a great point. What I still have not found on Spotify, and maybe it just doesn't do this, is I still have not found that way to move people into your funnel directly. So I think that if you're going to work with Spotify, you're going to go in a roundabout kind of way. And there we could talk about different strategies for getting yourself bumped up there. Carrie has just joined us. What's up, Carrie? How you doing?
Hey there. Good to see you. Good to see you, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, Carrie?
That's so bad. So I'm sort of catching up as you go here.
What I wanted to start off with, Carrie, was the artist profile, which I know you have some experience with. So you want to talk a little bit about the artist profile, maybe the importance of that?
Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to get the site up right now. It's artists.spotify.com.
With the artists, like plural.
Yes, that's right. That's important. So that's what you have to do that. But once you do that, I just went on there, artists.spotify.com. Why they didn't buy that domain as well and put that in as a subdirectory, I don't know.
Somebody go.
The size of Spotify, but they did, and you need to put artists. All right, so let's go there. Let's take a look. Just screen. That one, I think. Here's another thing. You will have lots of different ones that you can represent at different times. So I might as well use my first one first of all. Your profile that you get to do on here. Here's mine. The mobile app is actually pretty good for Spotify artists, so you can do a lot of this from your phone, as before. It's a good idea keeping an eye on what will be popular, what's being played. And that will go up and down. Like, often what you'll find, especially when you look at these from the app, is once it's got over 25 plays on the track, it will start telling you where they've come from. Whether it's from your links, whether it's from their own links, or whether it's from playlists or algorithmic playlists. I still don't know why certain tracks have got picked up by algorithmic playlists. This one, The Truth Hurts the Teller, has been picked up by an algorithmic playlist, which is why it's got higher up there. Game of Games was my most successful song of last year. And that's been played around, and that's why that's the top of it there. All of them are sub 1,000. That's just the level I operate at. So the profile itself, once you go in there, where it gets to about, is going to be your biog. And this is the bit you really control. And as you can see, you can do external links here. It will let you do that. They are social links rather than your squeeze page.
So you can send them to, you can send them to Facebook, YouTube, and what is that, Instagram?
That's right. Yes.
And, yeah. Facebook. Is that Twitter?
That's Twitter.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, I see Twitter. Okay.
So this is the usual suspects you've got there. That my homepage is not on here. Probably says that you can't do it. I don't know if they've changed it recently. No, that's just images. But your bio down the bottom and bio writing. We're going to do a session on bio writing at some point in the future. But yeah, I mean, bio is always important for anybody doing this, especially if you're using something like this for exposure, because people need to know who you are, where you've come from, what you're about. So that's where I've got that. But yeah, as I see it, I do not see a link for my homepage there, which means it's probably not there. The social media links are there. I think I did that from the app rather than from the desktop. If I move that out of the way, I might find an edit button. Oh, yeah, there it is. More info. These are your options. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Wikipedia.
Okay, so no YouTube. I was wrong about that. No YouTube.
No YouTube, no homepage. They'll only let you use those platforms. And part of this, what they will say, the reason for that is they want to control where people are getting sent, so nobody's getting sent off to some like computer mending molting virus site. But it just so happens that it stops you from getting to your homepage as well. So yeah, it kind of sucks that you can't send them to your squeeze page or your homepage, but there it is. But you can use Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So that's what the profile page will look like. It's worth setting it up so it at least has some kind of identity there. As I say, that is definitely a topic for a future session, is bios. How to write a good band bio. Have we even covered that yet?
I don't think so. But why do you feel what do you think is important about having the bio or having the artist page properly set up?
Well, put simply, people want to know, there are so many, and this is something we've said a lot, is there are so many really good musicians out there, so many really good musical acts. So if all you've got to offer is, hey, I'm a guy that plays the guitar, big deal. It's like there are lots of really, really good guitar players out there. And there are lots of really, really good singers and singer-songwriters out there. If that's all you're bringing to the table, then you're going to have to do something to stand out. And by the way, that number is raising exponentially every year, because it's so easy now, and everybody can release music, and everyone can get out there. The barriers for entry are lowering, and also the production values that are available to everybody. From that, as we said before, you can come up with really good looking stuff just using a mobile phone. So can everybody else. That means there's always more and more stuff coming on. And the people who are right at the top are the people who are driven, who will keep on doing it. But that bio straight away there, that means somebody has to be able to just look at that, get a look at some sort of a picture, some idea of what you're about. And then they might think, this is for me, this isn't for me. But it should be something that at least catches attention. Here's another thing about bios. Some people, when they go to write a bio, they'll just put a bunch of reviews they've got from press. And they'll generally be stock platitudes. It was like...
the greatest album in 10 years.
Yeah, high-octane rock and roll, a great live band. If all you've got is superlatives and hyperbole like that, that still doesn't say anything about what your music's like. I don't know what your mission's about. I don't know what you're going to do to improve my life. All you've told me is you're a great musician. Well, great. I know lots of great musicians. What else you got? So that's what I mean. Like this one, I mean, I'll probably change it again at some point. My one is pretty weird, but then so is my music. So that immediately sets up the fact that when you listen to my music, you're going to hear something that you might like it, you might not like it, but it's not going to be bland. That's really what I've gone for with that. And so much of it goes with that. As I say, another day we'll talk more about what has to be in the bios there. But all of this basically is so that when you call up anything on Spotify, and I'll stop the screen share at this point. So I'm just going to get Spotify up right now. So this is the consumer perspective. And I'm just going to look at the first artist I see, which is Hobo by Maya Lavelle. Just happened to be the first thing that came up. I'm going to go to her artist page. Right down the bottom. There it is. I've got a good photo of her. And this is her, and this is her bio. I'm going to read this out. Maya Lavelle is a fairy tale junkie who designs a parallel world where reality has no borders. As well as being the singer-songwriter, she composes the cinematic arrangements of all her songs. Uncompromising and ethereal, with haunting vocals and eclectic arrangements, Maya Lavelle's fearless hypnotic music and aesthetic encourages listeners to lose and rediscover themselves. I know exactly what to expect from her music after reading that. It's going to be dreamy. It's going to... the fact that she's put fairy tale in it in the first few words gives us this idea of it's going to be this like magical sort of atmospheric thing. And then after she's done that, then she'll talk about the actual real world thing she's done. She's premiered the music video of her previous single, Dancing with a Bottle, at the Rockford Music Hall in New York. So now she's starting giving us verifiable facts. She's currently developing a custom instrument sculpture that she'll use when touring the UK. So that straight away, that's a breadcrumb. That I want to see this thing now when she says something like that. And only after that does she then put, she's got exactly three in review quotes in there, and they're all ones that had something interesting to say for about her. So that, Maya Lavelle has a really good Spotify profile, I think. And that was just the first one I chose at random.
That bio is really good, and because it creates... He puts into words what the listening experience is going to be. And the listening experience is not high octane rock and roll or, you know, describing the music. It is describing the experience of the music. So you have to, when I think about stuff like that, I always think of the, like movies, because I think cinematically sometimes, and you know, a movie takes you and puts you in a place and it creates an atmosphere and a feeling and you get immersed in a world. I mean, that's why, you know, Marvel did these 10 movies and it were pretty much all giant hits because they immersed us in this amazing world. So that is, and the bio gets you prepped for that. It's exciting. Yeah. I don't know what her, I couldn't tell you what her music sounds like. I've never listened to her, but I was like, by reading that bio, I might click on it just to kind of give it a chance, because I kind of feel like, well, yeah, I want to have that experience.
I mean, here's the other thing. I mean, first of all, I'll just get out of the way quickly. When the first one I chose at random had that awesome profile and bio, imagine all the other bands that are on Spotify that you're on there with also have awesome profiles and bios, and you don't. Well, why not? I think you better come up with a decent profile when everyone else has got that.
I know. So you want to have a great profile. Now, speaking of, this is going to kind of lead into the next thing that I wanted to talk about, because one of the things that people do not realize about Spotify and about how, you know, there are different lists. Discover Weekly is like a big one. And what Discover Weekly is Spotify picks your listening habits and tries to match you up with stuff that they think that you will like. Now, this is not random stuff. Okay. This has to do with what your habits and other people's who have similar habits do, very much like the lookalike audience in the Facebook ads manager. Okay. So they're creating a kind of lookalike audience for you. All right. And so so you may say, well, that's great, but I'm new. I'm an indie artist. You know, who's going to get me on there? Not a lot of people know, but there's a couple things you can do about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But another, metric that they use is Spotify crawls the web and they look for artists who are being talked about in other places. So this is why getting reviews, being active in your community, you know, being active on social media, making some kind of impact outside of Spotify, on blogs, on YouTube, places like that, actually helps you on Spotify. A lot of people do not know this about Spotify. So one of the things that you can do to help yourself, and it's a kind of a, it's a kind of a cyclical thing here, you know, you're helping yourself by, you know, doing, you know, getting involved with blogs and articles and podcasts, YouTube, whatever. But that is also feeding your Spotify. And the feeding of the Spotify, as you come up in speed in Spotify, brings people back to these other things. Because if you, what was the name of that artist whose bio you read?
That was Maya Lavelle.
Maya Lavelle. Okay. So I listen to Maya Lavelle. I might want, you know, I all of a sudden now I'm looking, and you know what the, you know, all these websites have cookies. They know what you're looking at. So what happens when you go, to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram? What happens when you go to YouTube? They start the, your device says, oh, he listened to Maya Lavelle. Maybe he would like to see a Maya Lavelle video. Or maybe he might be interested in Maya Lavelle's Instagram page. So you, so all of a sudden you start. So you, you see, this is where exposure, in quotes, I'm making air quotes here, actually it means something. This isn't like going out and playing that gig in front of the Rotary Club for exposure.
And there's three guys and a dog there.
You know, this
they go, boom, where's the bingo?
This is different. This is actually the kind of exposure that actually could do something for you. So this is why it's important. We've talked about this on this podcast before. You do not live in a bubble. Okay. So if all you've got is you release a song, you put up on Spotify, and it's great, and you should share the link. I wanted to mention that earlier. That's like a duh. Of course, share the link. Make sure that everybody knows that you're on Spotify. You know, if you have a community, make sure that they know, ask them to please add it to their playlist, blah, blah, blah. But get involved in the rest of everything else too. Be, you know, if you're you're passionate about music, you should be getting involved on those sites and in those places, commenting, talking, being a part of it, because this actually is crazy as it sounds. The algorithm for Spotify is very complicated. It's not a one, it's not just the fact that other people listen to you. It's, you know, they take a multiple things into consideration. It's pretty smart. So the more you are involved in the whatever the community is, the EDM community, the techno community, the goth community, the heavy metal community, the AAA community, the country community, the more you are, you can get in there and start mixing it up, the more you are going to grow on Spotify. So one thing is going to feed the other. It's a cyclical thing. You want to jump in on anything, Carrie, with that?
Oh, right. So I was going to ask Joe. No, fine.
Do you have something, Joe?
So
sorry.
Spotify's whole goal, right, is to be able to build revenue for their shareholders. And so the whole idea and the reason why they're surfing the web looking for people who are getting attention is because they want those individuals to get attention to go to Spotify. So they're going to push that music over there even more. So like Lou was saying, creating a circular pattern to get more people to go pay attention to your music on Spotify from social media and other places is a great thing. It kind of goes back to like one of the very first calls the three of us did together, the whole listing versus having your own website and why a listing service, especially starting out, is a good idea. Spotify is like that listing service that's going to enhance and push more people to see your music, therefore allowing you to build up your music career.
Right, right. We have to look at all these services, Spotify, YouTube, all of them. We're kind of in a symbiotic relationship with them.
Right.
This is different. This is not like, this is a, totally different type of situation than it was to guys like me who are a little bit older have a hard time thinking this way, because I grew up in the era where you got signed, the record label, blah, 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 you know what I mean? And the whole thing. Well, now we have this kind of like strange thing where we're kind of all kind of in this together. We're all in this thing called the internet, and everybody's try. So how do you, so what I wrote in the notes was, you know, what Joe said was absolutely dead on. Spotify's goal is to build wealth for the shareholders. We can help, you're going to help them do that. And in do helping them do that, they are going to be helping you. See, so I think that the attitude that Spotify is some kind of like big, bad, evil ripoff service, mm-hmm. I think is kind of like, that might be, maybe for artists like Metallica and, Taylor Swift and these uber giant artists, maybe it isn't the right place for them. I don't know. That's a topic for another podcast. But for indie artists, it's another tool for the toolbox, and it's another way. It's another web presence that you can and should have. So I think instead of looking at what Spotify doesn't do, won't do, can't do, look at it and say, well, it's here and people love it. I love it. I'm a giant Spotify user and I love that Discover Weekly. I can't wait till Sunday, or I can't remember. I think it's Sunday or Monday when that new thing comes out, because I have discovered so many amazing bands that I never would have heard of. So you can poop on Spotify all you want, but if you're using it the right way, if you get involved with it, it will pay back dividends. It'll pays back, in my opinion, artistic dividends, because I'm discovering all this great music, a lot of artists that I've connected with to get on my podcast and things like that as well. So you want to think in a little different way about any of these platforms that you're approaching. You can't go like, you know, I was listening to a talk today, and a guy was, and Joe, you know this because you've been in meetings with Becky Auer, where, you know, people have the hand out attitude. They walk up to somebody who's famous, James Malinchek or somebody like that, and ask them for help instead of thinking, approaching it as, well, how can we work together? Or what, you know, is there something I could do for this person so we could create something together? That's the attitude that you need to have when you look at Spotify. Okay. Well, they have their goals. And like, I'm not going to change that. I could protest in the streets or do whatever, you know, get all pissed off about it, but that's not going to change. So how do we work together? And that is I think that's the key to unlocking what any of these platforms, including Spotify, could do for you. You guys want to respond to any of that? No?
Yeah. this comes back to this idea. First of all, I don't know if you said this already at the beginning, but who says that you have to put all your music on Spotify? Nobody. Maybe Spotify. Not even Spotify. But honestly, I mean, I'd say for a couple of reasons. Like, first of all, I mean, what I always advocate anyway, when you're releasing anything, is do it first on SoundCloud, because that's the sort of exposure and work in progress site. And they've started putting monetization options in there now, but generally I still see SoundCloud as the initial place to put stuff and not an end point. And that is an exposure site.
I want to talk about, I don't want to get too deep into that, but you have a very interesting take on SoundCloud. And we've touched on it on different podcasts. So somebody make a note that we need to explore this, because I like where you're going with, but I don't want to get too deep into that right now.
But anyway, the point is that is straight up. That is the site where you can put something up and have it there immediately. And it's good for just sharing stuff in progress. But what I then do, the second place that I would then post stuff up is Bandcamp. Once I've got something that is actually ready for release and ready for me to charge money for, then it will go up on Bandcamp. And that is ultimately where I will try to send people to buy the downloads eventually. And that's going to be forever. And that's because I have control over it all. I get a better cut of it all. They'll get better quality downloads and all the rest. And once it's been released on Bandcamp, and I'll hopefully have it up there for about a week before it goes anywhere else, then it will go up to Spotify and all the other stores. But even then, I reserve the right every now and then to hold back certain things that will never go up on Spotify. And what some people will do is they will release the album on CD or release it elsewhere, maybe with a single or a reduced version, or there'll be a single that goes up on Spotify. But if you want the album, then you're going to have to buy it. And then maybe 2 months down the line, finally, the album will come out on Spotify. But that's the way that's probably the smart play these days. And how to use Spotify to get the exposure, for let people hear your music, using it for singles. And it's built for singles anyway. And then the only time you really put your album on there is once it's back catalogue. And you want to use it to draw attention to your back catalogue, because at that point you'll be promoting something else. So you can always tell your fans that, great, you found me. Here's all your music. You can hear all of my back catalogue. I'm there. I'm still getting paid a little bit by Spotify, but if you want to hear my latest stuff and if you want to support me, then by that point they'll hopefully have found you some other way on your social media, because they can get that from your profile. So you've sort of got them in the keeper net in that way, even if you haven't made. Then at that point you can say that now this is the one I'm doing at the moment. This is the new album. It's not up on Spotify yet, but it is here. Even say that this is like the first chance to hear it, just my people. And it's on my Bandcamp. You can buy it on CD. You can get it if you're a Patreon subscriber. Do it that way. So for the first 6 months, the only way you're going to hear this record is if you're one of my patrons. I mean, I've seen people do that. So you don't have to put up every damn thing you release on Spotify.
I have an interesting, and you can maybe talk about this, take on the Spotify versus other platforms and what can be done. Creating what you could do is create exclusive tracks. And so what kind of exclusive tracks could you create? Now we're kind of veering off a little wee bit here, but I just want to, this, because this just came to me and I wanted to say it. I know some people that have done, I'll just say John Ojaka does an Americana alt country version of Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield. Now it would cost John a lot of money to release that widely. So he has created this as an exclusive track. So you have to either, I think you have to buy you have to buy one of his CDs, or you can only get it through his email list or something like that. So this is a way you could leverage Spotify. Hey, you like blah, blah, blah. Check out my awesome remake of blah, blah. Oh, you can't hear it because boom, you know, get my, this way you can kind of work. And then basically what you're doing is, instead of fishing with a pole, you're fishing with a net. So you're putting out, you're playing music anyways. And who doesn't love it? We all of us do. Everybody listening, I know Carrie, you do too. We all listen to a great song and go like, I got to do something interesting with that, I think. You know, I could do something really cool with that. So this is a way to kind of leverage that. So now people, you know, you have the original music out on Spotify. You don't want to put some kind of cover out in there because it's going to cost you a lot of money. And you could still do this legally. I'm not talking about anything Black Hat. You go to the Harry Fox agency. They give you different levels of where you're of how you are going to use the song, and you pay appropriately. I had to license Smoke on the Water one time, and another and a couple other tracks, and it was very, 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 very affordable because I wasn't putting them out for like wide release in like all kind of public places. I was just using them, you know, for small things. You know, so there's economical ways to do that, and you can leverage that. You can work one against the other, get people interested. You could share your Spotify tracks, and then, you know, with a caveat that, hey, I have this very cool thing. You can only get it from my email list. So it's another tool. Again, it's another tool in the toolbox. You don't have to put all the music up on Spotify as well. And this works really well with the album release thing that we talked about a while ago on the show, where, you know, you are kind of putting out these teasers throughout the year, building up to your big thing at the end of the year where you put out your mega package. And this is a way to kind of like create other stuff and get people interested. Use it, but don't use it. And maybe collect a couple bucks from Spotify along the way. Just a couple. I mean, there is, like I said, if you want the course, I will share it with you. I have a course that I can, I have an affiliate link for that I can give you on Spotify if you guys want to check it out. I won't vouch for it because there's some of the stuff in the course I believe is a little shaky, a little hooey, a little exaggeration. I just have my doubts about. But there's some core information in there that is very, very good. It's very reasonable. So hit me up if you want that. What else? You guys have any other opinions on Spotify before we move on?
What we said, ultimately, probably the very first thing you said was whatever we think of Spotify matters a whole lot less than what the people we want to reach think of Spotify. And if that's where they're going to get their music, then you're going to have to learn to love Spotify.
Right. And the thing of it is, and I was getting ready to do this, and then I didn't get a chance to post it today in my group, but I want to know who in my community is a Spotify user and if they have Spotify playlists. Mm. We haven't talked about playlists yet. We need to talk about that.
Yeah, that's a pretty big thing.
That's a really big thing. What if the people in my community is more people that like classic rock. So a lot of those people aren't listening to Spotify. Some of them are. I don't know yet. I've got to pull my community and see who's doing what. So maybe I'm worried about Spotify when I shouldn't be. I don't know. I have to test that and find out. But the reason I was going to check into is because I was like, who has playlists? So if you're a Spotify guy and gal, whatever, and you have playlists, can we help each other out with playlists? Can you put me on your playlist? Can I put something that you like on my playlist? Can we create different playlists and share them back and forth? A playlist, guys, is not just all your songs. Okay. You intermingle your music with other music that you think your fans would also like. So you just can't just, you know, here, check out my playlist and it's your five songs. That's not.
Yeah. By the way, this, what we're about to describe here, this has been around forever. This was like, this has been in the indie musician's playbook since day one.
Yep.
Since before the internet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before then, it was mixtapes.
Mixtapes.
And then it was CDs that you burnt together. And then it really got into like digital playlists like we're talking now with iTunes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Metallica will tell you that this is really how they got started. People, there were cassettes that got passed around. That's what they did.
And you've just hinted, by the way, exactly how a lot of people blow this. And when you said it's not your entire catalogue, especially when you get collaborative playlists on Spotify, the absolute worst thing you can do is go to somebody's collaborative playlist and spam it with loads and loads of your songs in a row. And to describe why that's a bad move, I just want you to imagine you're at a party and there's record and there's music in the corner and somebody comes in and they start putting their own album on and their own demo tape. And for the rest of the night, all you're going to hear is their music. That guy has just killed the party.
Yeah.
And there isn't going to be a person in that room who ever wants to hear that guy's music again as long as they live.
Right. Unless it's a listening party for your CD and everybody's there to hear it.
Yeah, if it's your party, great. But even then, you're going to have to convince people to show up. And if you show up to someone else's party, which is the same as someone else's playlist, and you just fill it with just your stuff and nothing else, or just like, it's all my stuff and maybe two other tracks. And then it just makes you look like a complete blowhard. It's like, that's the other thing that you'll get when some people think about, okay, basically what you want to do is you want to put one track in of your own with a playlist of stuff you're passionate about. The way I always sum this up is be the person who loves music rather than the person who thinks they are music. Because that's what's going to get people involved. They think, oh, this is somebody who's passionate about music in general and so happens to make good music themselves. So, which is what you do with your show, Lou.
Right, absolutely.
And that means then that when your track does come around, then it's great. So this is his thing as well, and it fits in. But if it's like loads of your stuff, and it's obvious that every other track in that playlist is only there to sort of try and draw attention to your stuff. Like, oh, this does a load of shit, really. Like YouTube, Metallica, all hacks, all crap compared to me, but I've got to put them in because they're there. But now you mugs have come in for that lot. Here's my... That is a great way to just alienate fans from the word go, because you just But basically what we're saying is get over yourself. If you're going to do playlists, then be a part of some.
Look at, really listen to some other people's playlists and see how, what they're doing. Yes, absolutely. You want to insert a little bit of your own music, but you can't fill the damn thing up with your music. That's not the point, because people go to a playlist. It's like having a radio station that just plays music you really, really are really passionate about. So, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, I don't know. I don't listen to terrestrial radio at all, but I do listen to Sirius, and I still get, I could skip this song. I like that. Whatever. But what you can do with Spotify is you can create playlists that fit exact thing. Now, I want to talk about this, because this kind of goes a little bit back to the bio thing. We listened to that bio in the beginning and how it described a kind of an atmosphere, a kind of a something you're going to experience. This is how you want to think about the playlist. And this is how you want to name the playlist. Okay? Calling this, I mean, one of the most generic things you could do is, okay, you know, 70s rock hits. You know, today's latest EDM. Okay, that's like, you know. But if you call it, like, you know, heavy metal workout, you know, or something like that, then okay, all right, I'm going to go work out, and I like metal, so I'm going to get, I'm going to put this on, you know.
So you're Jesse Ventura in the running.
Right, right, or something, you know, that was, that. That's even kind of generic. If you go through and look at the playlist, there are, you know, there's playlists called like relaxing at sunset and things like that. And what's happening? Okay. It's maybe it's the end of the day. You're looking for relaxing at sunset. I'm having a glass of wine. I'm sitting out on my deck. I can't go anywhere, 'cause I'm, you know, in quarantine. So I'm going to just chill and, you know, so you want to be thinking about the experience that this playlist is going to, create. You know, the Hell No, We Won't Go playlist, you know, with all songs about screw you, kiss my ass, you know, people love, you know what I mean? If you're pissed off, you know what I mean? So you can do stuff like that. What can you mentioned collaborative playlists. Can you elaborate on that?
Collaborative playlist. When you create a playlist on Spotify, you have the option to make it collaborative, which means anybody who wants to can add can add songs that are relevant to that playlist. I'm going to tell you now, do not make collaborative playlists. And the reason being, you will get every asshole will come along and see it as an opportunity to spam your playlist with their stuff. And you will get cheesy stuff. And that is a party that's going to get pooped pretty much from immediately. So what you end up doing is you put it on, I mean, earlier on when I started making playlists, and I put them on Twitter, and I saw people do the same. They'd make them collaborative, only to find some hack dance producer from Belgium has just filled it up with generic.
Nothing against people from Belgium.
Yeah, or just for example. So in the end, what happens in the end is say, look, I've just done this thing. And by the way, in the end, the other advantage with this is that you're increasing your Twitter engagement as well. You can say, if you've got a song that you think would fit this playlist, then tell me about it below. Tell me about it here, and if I agree, I'll put it on.
That's the way you want to do it.
That's a much better way of doing it, because that way you're still curating it. And yeah, and if you're making a playlist, the whole idea is to be the curator. Coming back to the thing about when your band's going to come up, I'll tell you the exact reaction you want to get people to when they see your name in there. And incidentally, another thing with Spotify, when you choose any track, you have the option in the menu. It's it says on there, go to song radio. And what that will then do is it will use that song as the starting point for a playlist. It basically compiles on the fly of other tracks like it. And again, it will use its algorithm. And I'll use that a lot, especially if I want goth or industrial, which is stuff that generally hasn't fitted in well with song catalogues. Then I will use that to get just the things along those lines that were part of a scene. And what will happen then, once I look down it, and there'll be some that I know, some that I don't know, and especially for a new band that I don't know, but I've heard one track, and I think that's all right. What I love is when I see it coming up again, and it's like an old friend. And ever so gradually getting to know that band now. And if I want to listen to all their stuff, all I have to do is click on the artist and I can listen to all their damn stuff. But once I'm in the mood of wanting to hear something more general and sort of like just being able to like window shopping, basically.
Right.
Then that means once I see their track coming on a bit further down the playlist and I know no one's shoving it in my face, I actually feel damn good about seeing that band coming up again. And I want to know what they're going to have for me.
There is something, and this is something that's really, I haven't seen anybody talk about before with regards to Spotify or playlists, is there is your song, how the context of it very often, and this is, I think what you were kind of saying is the context of the song sometimes can be very, very powerful, very, very, very important. And there are songs that have popped up on playlists and I had heard them before, but because they followed a song or they were in a playlist that I was, you know, really getting into, I was like, I can't believe this is a great song. This is really, really cool. And I'll like and, you know, do the whole thing with the band. So that's something to be thinking about as well, is like designing when you're putting a playlist together, is, you know, what's the flow like? And you want to think about a comp, you know. Tony Robbins always says that, you know, we love consistency and surprise. We want a sort of a mix. So with staying consistent with what the playlist is supposed to be, how can you mix it up a little bit? How can you create peaks and valleys and changes of mood, even if it's a death metal playlist or a punk rock playlist? You know, how can you know? So I think that it really bears thinking about yes, people can randomize on playlists. They can hit they can have it play out of order, but at least having that sort of like up and down throughout the list, and then your music kind of following in some other really great stuff, does create that experience that we're trying to give people. And face it, guys, you can't create all that content. This is where you are leveraging your pals in the business who also make great music in your niche, and you are all working together. This is like going to like a great show where it's like there's five bands playing and everybody's awesome, and we're all sort of like, you know, everybody's working the crowd a little bit different, but it all works together. Mm-hmm. That's really the sort of like attitude you want to be. And Carrie said this earlier, you want to be thinking about, you want to pick the playlist, you want to look at Spotify in the way that the fans are looking at it. Okay, you've got to like keep that in mind. You can't just go in and be like, you know what I mean, try to like shove everything down somebody's throat or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Joe, you've been quiet.
Yeah, so what you were just saying about mixing bands and mixing the songs, that makes complete sense, because if I go to a concert and I listen to one band play and it's just them all night long, it's not as effective as if like I was going to a concert and it was, you know, Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison. They're all in the same genre, but
the Three Ring Circus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot more powerful. The other thing that keeps coming to mind to me is this whole CD launch plan, and, you know, creating a single, putting the single up on SoundCloud, Bandcamp, Spotify, really creates an awareness. So when we're creating funnels, we want awareness first. That's the top of the funnel. And we want people to get to know who we are, what we're about, and get an idea of what we will offer. And then the next step, where you have the exclusive songs, that's where you get into the conversion process. So you're putting that on Patreon, you're putting that on, you know, you could actually put it in a conversion funnel. You can just put it on a cart page, or you could do donations. And then from there you get into like your high ticket thing, your shock and awe package. But really, maybe we need to go over this another time, Carrie, you can let me know, but what really brought a question to my mind, and this isn't, you know, just Shopify, this is how Shopify fits into the process, is how you pick that exclusive content. How do you know what not to put on Shopify and what to put on Shopify?
Or Spotify. This gets into the difference between singles and album material. And this is another thing, actually, over the last couple of years, we've sort of seen a bit of an evolution into what constitutes a single. For one thing, they've got a lot shorter. It used to be that 3.5 minutes was seen as the optimum length for a single. Now it's dipping below 2 minutes. That's just the way it's going. And so many people now are making tracks that are that short. And part of the reason is because the single is your shop window and it's the most immediate thing that people are going to pick up. And then your great magnum opus tracks, they're going to be your album tracks that you're going to get people to listen to once they come in. And you want, but the thing is, the singles were always like that. Singles were always to draw attention to albums. And no one ever really made serious money out of a single unless it was like that was the only thing they were doing and it was pop hits. So it's always had that element of it anyway, about the single was there to draw attention to the album and try and get people for the long term. But coming back to the Spotify thing and getting on the playlist, so they've got the singles there, the other things that are drawing in and getting them back there. The bridge between that and the point where they come in and you get them in the catching net and they're keeping net and they can start sending them off wherever. I'm going to call it the Verhoeven hook.
Okay.
And because we've talked about Paul Verhoeven before, a Dutch film director who had a trademark in each of his films that we often come back to.
Would you like to know more?
Would you like to know more? And that's where the bio and the profile come in. So that once you're going through that playlist and you see that band coming up every now and again, and they're starting to feel like a familiar friend now, and you've seen them turning up in profile media, you think that this is a good guy, this is somebody I want to support, this is somebody who speaks my language musically. Now I want to know more. And that's when you go onto their artist profile and there it is. This is what they look like. This is what they're about. This is their social media. Now you start to draw them in. And if you have none of that stuff in place, then you are wasting your time on Spotify.
Well, that explains exactly why Spotify is designed the way it is. So you have the playlist with all the singles. You're trying to get awareness, trying to get attention. And then you can go over to their Facebook, whatever it was, Instagram and the other one, Twitter. So that once you go over there, if your profiles are all designed correctly, you can then get them into your funnels, get them proceed on whatever you're doing.
So it's always getting to that point where when they want to know more, they can know more and get there really easily. And then just make it so that it's just sort of being there as much as possible so then people will come by you.
I want to wrap up here if we can. But the sort of overall impression I'm getting from this discussion, I'm really glad Kerry came on because he had a lot to offer. So thank you. Is that Spotify is part of your long game. And we talked about this before. You have to go into this in any business as part of the long game. When my dad got started in the auto body, he opened his first body shop, you know, little place in an alley. He took many years to build it up over to build the clientele, increase profits, eventually be able to move to a bigger, better place, eventually bought other businesses, things like that. And this business is no different. You start out small, you start out working, and you bring all these pieces together. Spotify is just another piece of your overall plan. You want to look at it for what it is and don't try to get, because if you beat your head against the wall about what it's not, you're never going to fix it. You're not going to, you know, like the old expression, you can't fight City Hall. It is what it is. So how can you use it? I think we presented some really great ideas here as an overall plan for your album release, working with playlists as a way to find other musicians who might be somebody you can connect with. Because if you're an indie artist in a genre, guess what? There's a bunch of other indie artists in that same genre, and this is a place to sort of discover them. Very simple to go to their Instagram or their Twitter or their Facebook and start a conversation. Say, I discovered you on Spotify. I know, you know, we have similar music. You know, who produced that for you? You know, ask interesting questions, get involved, get excited about it. this is part of your overall strategy with your whole internet marketing. Spotify feeds off of how well you are doing on the rest of the internet. If you are nowhere and you're not interacting, you're going to have a harder time, not just with Spotify, but with all of them. So get involved with the community. Playlists, I think, was a highlight of the conversation today, as well as that bio. We need to do a show on bios as well. Just one part, guys. It's not the end all be all. And I'm sure there are examples of people that crush it on Spotify, and maybe they don't do anything else. Maybe they don't play live. Maybe that the rest of what they're doing isn't smart. I don't know. They're not selling merchandise, whatever. But it's just a part of what you're doing. Any closing thoughts, comments, Carrie?
No, just that really. Yeah, I mean, what you said, I mean, the most crushing thing that everybody goes through as a musician, once they get past a certain level and they get out of the small pond and into the big sea, is you realize you are not the only good musician out there. There is a whole universe of them out there, and the universe doesn't owe you a damn thing just as you can play the guitar. But that whole universe is also a really exciting thing to be a part of. So if you get out of this attitude of being, I deserve all this, I should be the big I am, I should be getting wonders coming to my doorstep, forget it. It's not going to happen. But if instead you go out and think there's a world out there and there's adventures to be had, that's when you'll start finding paths and that's when good things will start happening.
Excellent. And Joe?
I think Spotify, the reason why it's so good for people who are trying to get awareness and get discovered is because that's what the platform is meant to do. The reason why, some of the bigger artists who already made it, who have already been discovered per se, don't like it is because their music is already out there and it's a lot of free downloads that they're not making the money they used to make in the old economy and, the way they used to. Right. So if you're a new musician, use Spotify the way it's meant to be used. And learn how to hold back some content and give people enough to wet their whistle and make them want more. It's like that free sample when you went to the food court back in the old days in the malls. You know what I mean? They gave you a little piece of chicken and you wanted the whole damn plate.
Right. Excellent. Go out there and hand out those pieces of chicken, guys. that's what we're doing. And also, the on the upside of the whole debate with the big artists being on Spotify, in the meantime, almost all of them are on there. And guess what? That only helps you because people are going, because this is it's like the anchor stores at the old malls. You mentioned the mall thing, right? So people might go to Spotify to listen to AC/DC and Metallica or whatever. And they have a good chance if you are in that niche, there's a chance that they can kind of discover you. So the game is to sort of play around with that. Don't fight it. Work with it. You've been listening to Ludini, Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind. My name is Lou Lombardi. You can find me at loulombardirocks.com. And we have Carrie JK. Carrie, what's the best way to find you again?
KJKmusic.co.uk.
And Joe Freeman. What's the best way to find you?
OrangeTreeMarketing.com or always hit us up at loulombardirocks.com.
All right, guys. Good talk today. We'll talk to everybody next week. Thank you.